today on The Travel Guys.
Wait, before we go any further, I mean, really, that weather guy's voice, that was really something. I mean, that was really something. I liked his. That was smooth.
Yeah, he was smooth.
He's smooth.
Smooth weather.
Yeah. Next in the travel news, cruise lines back off early 2021 departures. Uber says wear a mask or we'll close your account in a glimmer of hope for those who want to travel to Kauai.
Many of you canceled air travel this year and are holding vouchers from the airlines for further air travel. Well, we have some tips to you to manage those funds. Travel Guys make you a smarter traveler at 320.
COVID, travel, vaccines. Those three words are going to be heard a lot together in the months ahead. Chris Elliott joins us at 3:35 with an expert analysis of how vaccines and travel could be important partners in 2021.
Around this time every year, there's a particular Dan Fogelberg song about New Year's Eve that gets a lot of play. Did you know it really happened? Hear the rest of the story at 3:50.
The holidays are winding down. Those of us who love to travel patiently await a chance to roam. In the meantime, why not curl up with the Travel Guys?
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy 2021 and the first edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys for the new year. Thank you so much for being there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano back at you once again. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, hanging on by their fingernails.
The same two tired hosts closed the previous year are still here.
Yeah. Wonders never cease.
Yeah, well, we couldn't get anybody else to do it. It's Sunday afternoon. I mean, come on. Most people say, well, you know, that would be nice. But, I mean, even when trying to get a guest host, you know, when, like, you were gone or, you know, I'm off someplace or something like that, people are like, wow, that'd be really cool. And then when you tell them what time it is and what day, they're like, oh, wow, I'd love to do it. But, you know, my dog is going to be sick that day. And... Hey, listen, something happened this week. Doesn't have a damn thing to do with travel. It has to do with the Sacramento Kings basketball team, who are off to a reasonably respectable start.
They are. I love our team this year.
Already won half as many games as they'll win for the whole season. The Kings honored Jerry Reynolds the other night. They had to do it all by video, of course, but they named the media entrance at the arena after Jerry, so that his name will linger long after he is gone. Jerry has done every job for the Kings except sweep the arena, and I'm willing to bet that he may have done that before or after a practice someday or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Talk about the jack of all trades. I mean, everything from the coach to the general manager. I did some sports talk radio in Sacramento in the 90s, right about the time Jerry had finished coaching, and then he did a little stint as general manager of the Kings before he became a broadcaster and before he was general manager of the, if you remember, of the women's ladies team.
That's right. Won a championship.
Exactly. So anyways, I just wanted to mention, since Jerry has retired, I'm sure that he's probably lingering around basketball, because I suspect that he wakes up in the middle of the night and dribbles down the hallway. I mean, he's been in basketball. Jerry was when the Kings were nothing but, you just wanted to beat your head against the wall.
They were just a team.
Yeah, Jerry was all, he was all, whenever I asked him to come on the radio with me, he was all, he never blew you off. He was never late. He never was never a no-show. He always had time for you. He was always a gentleman. And we had some really bad teams, and things were not going all that well in the 90s. We had the owners of the team, the Maloofs, and they didn't have a lot of money, and they were trying to do a lot of hocus pocus and stuff. But Jerry was the most honest. Of course, he worked with Gary Gerald, who's another tremendous guy. But Jerry was all, you know, he's the guy you'd want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with or talk about the ball game or something like that. And if he'd have talked to two dozen people before you, he'd sit down and talk to you the same way and treat you just the same. I mean, really, really a good guy. Sacramento was really lucky to have somebody like Jerry land here, because when he came with the Kings, they came from the Midwest, and so did he. And he was a Midwesterner, and this city has always had a little bit of a Midwestern kind of slant to it. There's a lot of folks here who are Midwestern transplants, farmers. Their families were farmers in the Midwest, and their families came here and were farmers. And so if you go back far enough. And so anyways, I just wanted to say a few words about my friend. I think he'd call me a friend, Jerry Reynolds. And a funny story, just about the time Jerry became head coach of the Kings, he was an assistant coach, and they were making a ton of money. At Sports Leisure Vacations, we were hiring another person for our front office. His wife was one of the applications.
Oh, my.
And so the applications came in during the week, and my staff had sorted out three or four and said, these are probably the people that you might want to interview. And so I was looking at the three or four. One of them was Jerry's wife. And she had come in and dropped off her resume, and indeed she was quite qualified. And I thought, gee, that would be cool. You know, I'll make her one of the people that I interview. And the next day or that evening, I forget exactly the timing now, but within a day of that, before we could call Mrs. Reynolds and invite her in, I wish I could remember her first name now, Jerry was named the head coach of the Kings. And of course, when you're assistant coach and now you become the head coach, the salary level is a lot different. And so suddenly his wife didn't need a second job, you know, in a tour company. But anyway, that was the almost connection. But thanks to Jerry Reynolds for all of the laughs and all the times that he kept our spirits up when the team couldn't do it. And, you know, even the time that he collapsed on the basketball floor, some people who have been around a while will remember something was just wrong that day, and he jumped up and collapsed, got a technical foul from the official who thought that Jerry was pulling a
faking it.
He was faking it. So anyways, I love you, Jerry. I can't think of any person who has reflected better on our city and our team, such as it has been, over all of these decades as you have. I wish you all the best and many more years, and I hope one of these years we host a championship flag and you're there to see it.
Awesome, and I second that emotion. You've got the travel guys, and at the top of every program, we do our best somewhere along the way to get you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. So with that, here's Mark.
Norwegian Again. Cruise Line has decided that they're going to move back their earliest sailing date to March the 31st. I'm going to predict that will probably be moved back again. I don't think you're going to see ships in the water until the second half of next year. I might be wrong. Maybe they will come up with a way of socially distancing people. But the problem is that if you sail those ships with 40 or 50% capacity, you can't make money. So why would you, if you're already bleeding cash, why would you want to do something that had kept you bleeding cash? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You want to go to Kauai? This is a way to do it. You can't go there directly without a 10-day quarantine. But you can go to another island. And then you can take a test. You've already taken one test to get to that island. The folks in Kauai are confident. Mm-hmm. So now you take another test on the neighboring island before you go to Kauai. And that's what allows you to be loose on Kauai when you get there without a quarantine. This is all very complicated, and it changes about every 20 minutes. So if you plan a trip to the Hawaiian Islands and you're visiting more than one island, there are some complications to it. So be careful. Make sure that you do your homework and that you know what you're getting into before you go, so that you'll get properly tested and you'll have all the documentation. And what a great time to go, because the crowds are not there.
Right. Is it sort of just the opposite of situation in Mexico? You can't drive on into Mexico. You'll be quarantined, but you can fly in. Now, if you want to drive into Kauai, they'll let you in without being quarantined.
Uh-huh.
Just so you'll know, I heard that. Somewhere. I'm sorry. I digress, seriously.
It's only 19 minutes by air from Honolulu. How much of a drive can it be?
Honestly.
If you are getting these things, if you belong to airline frequent flyers or you know somebody who does, and they're saying, wow, you know, you can buy bonus miles, they'll give you 100% bonus miles. 2 miles for every worthless mile you buy, they'll give you another one. First of all, you can't travel right now. Second of all, you don't know if the airline is still going to be there when we get back. I mean, probably, but for sure. Are you going to invest in it? That's what you're doing when you're buying miles. If you have 48,000 miles and you need 50,000 to go someplace, buy the 2,000. That's cool. But otherwise, there is no reason to buy miles from an airline. No airline has ever offered miles at what would be a beneficial price to a consumer that I have ever seen.
Well, consumers must be buying them because I get emails on a regular basis from the airlines that I do business with, mm-hmm. offering me an opportunity with glorifying headlines that I should, this is going to be great for me.
American Airlines earn up to 100% bonus miles. Now, who wouldn't want 100%? That's like buying one pizza and walking out the door with two. I mean, which is fine, unless the pizza used to cost $6 and two of them was $12, and now one of them is $12 and the second one is free. So, I mean, you know, do the math. Alaska Airlines has decided that given this small opening to limit emotional support animals, they are going to take it. Alaska Airlines has announced that effective January the 11th, emotional support animals, no, on the plane. Qualified service animals, yes. If the dog will fit under your seat or under the seat in front of you, or you can hold the animal on your lap, this personal to the lady with the Great Dane who got on and sat next to me a couple of years ago, the Great Dane will not be acceptable now because he won't fit under the seat and you can't possibly put him on your lap in 7E. So anyway, Alaska Airlines says that you can only bring one animal. If there are two of you, you can each bring an animal. But it has to go right. in a small. You have to play by the rules. And they said, no, service animals only is what they're going to accept. Finally, Chris Elliott had a great article this week that went into, talked at depth with the Uber people and talked about the fact that they're having some problems with, or they were having some problems with folks not wearing masks. So they decided to take the same approach that the airlines led by Delta Airlines had taken. And they said, look, this is the deal. If you get reported twice by a driver for not wearing a mask properly or not wearing the right kind of mask, remembering that bandanas and some of these neck things and stuff are not considered to be effective. So if you're reported twice, then they're going to come to you and say, you've been reported twice, two strikes. You get reported a third time, your account is just closed down. The reason we know this is because some folks who have had this happen to them have gone to Mr. Elliott and said, oh, Uber closed my account. Help me. I didn't do anything wrong. And it turns out, like some of the people who go to Chris, they're not telling the truth. And when he digs into it, he finds out that there was a reason for this. So Uber is tracking it. The drivers are reporting it. I can't speak to Lyft because this article doesn't address the Lyft situation. My guess is that they're probably doing it a similar fashion. But if the Uber driver reports you as not wearing a mask properly, he doesn't have to tell you, he or she doesn't have to tell you. They just report it when they rate you. If it happens three times, it's three strikes and you're out. So for those friends who, you know, and it's easy to let that mask slip down and where it's not covering your nose and you had good intentions and you just didn't realize it. So it's just something that you need to be careful of because the Uber drivers don't want to get sick and who can blame them? That's your travel news for today.
Boy, and that was a great reenactment of someone contacting Chris Elliott, I might add. All right. With that being said, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and let's let the good times roll. Coming up, we're going to make you a smarter traveler, going to deal with those, you know, those vouchers that you're holding for those airline flights in the, of the future. We're going to clue you in on how to deal with those. That's next here on the Travel Guys. On the ships and on the planes, sometime coming to America. We're Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Let's talk vacations, multiples. Well, let's talk vouchers, Mark.
Let's talk vouchers.
Okay, I got a bunch of vouchers that because I couldn't fly here and I couldn't fly there, and so I got vouchers coming out my ears.
For an airplane flight or a can of green beans, 16 ounce only.
So.
Yeah,
you got a tip for me as to how to manage these voucher funds? What do you got?
Yeah, the first thing is that you need to know when the expiration date is. And this is really confusing to a lot of folks, so it bears checking on. In the beginning, airlines' policy was to give you, their general policy for years has been, if you had a cancellation and you ended up with a credit, you had a year to use that credit. And off some airlines, it was a year from the time they gave you the credit. Sometimes it was a year from when you bought the ticket, which might meant you, if you bought the ticket 6 months before you traveled, you only had 6 months to use the ticket, the voucher. Spirit Airlines, in their incredible generosity, only gave people 3 months to use vouchers. But anyways, it was a year was pretty standard. So when this all started happening, the airlines were hit with people wanting refunds who deserved them, but the airlines did a con job, and they tried to get as many people to take a voucher as they could. The rule was if the airline canceled your flight or you couldn't fly to the place you were going because of travel restrictions, then you were due a refund. But if you didn't know that, or if you pulled the plug on your travel before the airline pulled the plug on their side, then you weren't eligible for a refund. You were only eligible for a voucher because you canceled first. So a little bit complicated, and in the beginning, there were a lot of people who were really unhappy. Then the word started getting out of, you know, what constituted a voucher refund and what constituted a cash refund. And so people like Chris Elliott got heard better, and I'd like to think people like us. And so they knew that they had options even if the airline didn't present them. So in some cases, people got those vouchers in the beginning. People have gotten vouchers along the way because they had to get out. Some people have vouchers that don't have a damn thing to do with COVID. Maybe they got them last January before the COVID even came along. Generally, vouchers are good for a year. What the airlines did, Tom, was they said, you know, wow. People came back and said, well, what if I can't, you know, what if I can't get on an airline for 6 months and, you know, I may not be able to fly in that window? Well, okay, that's legit. You guys have kind of helped us out here by taking a bunch of this worthless paper and letting us keep the cash. We'll give you 2 years. And some of the ones we've already issued, we'll say, no, that's okay, because y'all are screaming to the consumer people and stuff. We'll give you another year. So you may have a voucher that says it expires in 2021, and it may be good for another year. So in which case, no reason to panic. You might be able to go back to the airline and say, you know, you gave this to me and I see that your policy has changed. And their policy in that case is, you're right, the policy changed. We will give you the better policy. Now you have 2 years to use the voucher. So it's important that you know what the expiration date of the voucher is and what it really is, not what's printed on it. At most airlines, the credit is only good for the cost of the flight. So if you have a $300 credit, it might have included a reserve seat and a bag and who knows what else before, but now it's only good for the cost of the flight. So if you're going to reserve a seat, a paid reserve seat, and you've got a baggage fee to pay and stuff, you're going to have to pay that extra out of your own pocket. This is called airline math. It's a way that they get some money out of you no matter what. And so change fees have been eliminated, so you're not going to have to pay a fee because you're on a different flight than you originally paid for. But some of that other stuff you may have to go ahead and buy anyway ahead of time. Now you say, well, Jesus, I'm going to end up with a $75 credit. How am I going to use that before the deadline? And the answer is nobody cares. I mean, you know, sorry, but you took the voucher, and that's the reason you don't take the voucher, is it's really hard to get full value out of a voucher. So you're stuck with it. We're trying to do the best we can with it. They're not likely to give extensions unless there's just a bloody outcry from too many people. So I wouldn't count on that. If you didn't buy from the airlines, but you bought from Booking.com or Travelocity or something like that, they may have entirely a separate set of rules that apply to your purchase from them. The airline rules may apply, but they may have some different rules that you signed off on when you check that little thing that says, yeah, I agree with the terms and conditions, you know, that part you never read. So now you're stuck with whatever it said. So again, this is the perfect time, at least a couple of months before even the 12 months ones expire, to get them out, look at them, and say, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to travel in this two-month window. This was unfair. This is $3,000. You know, get on the phone and say, look, you know, this was, be nice and say, this is kind of unfair and here are my plans. And they'll probably say, no problem. But if you wait until April and your voucher expired in March, it's going to be an entirely different situation. So do your homework. Be proactive now. Does that help you,
very
Mr.
good.
Romano?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. And is it still true that if you make a call, you know, to the airlines and you get somebody on the phone and it's just not going your way? And instead of getting grouchy and calling them names and threatening them, is it still apropos to hang up and call back?
God, I'm proud of you. That's years ago on this program, that was one of the things that we, one of the first tips that we gave people. And it doesn't matter how frequent of a traveler you are, especially if you're dealing. Now, if you're dealing with an individual hotel, you're probably going to call back and get the same person.
Right.
But if you're dealing with an airline or you're dealing with Marriott on the phone or something like that, yeah, hang up, wait 2 or 3 minutes, pick up the phone and call again. It's entirely possible that you will get someone who is more sympathetic to your cause or more understanding. Just speaks your language. Maybe they come
right.
from – maybe you had somebody from another part of the world and now you've got somebody who's 50 miles from where you're sitting. And
right.
You know, they talk like you and they understand things and it's just you got yourself. So, yes, that's a great tip is if you call one of these places and you're not getting what you need before you blow your top, back out and call back. And you know what? With an airline, I would even suggest you could do that a third time. And by the time you've done it three times, I think your chances of getting somebody who might see it your way probably increase a little bit.
Well, here again, if it starts with an 8, like 800 or 877, then more than likely you're not going to get the same person on the line, but we'll get a different service rep. And, you know, I think everybody understands that some of these people may have been hired yesterday and yep. others may have been there for quite some time and have more experience to help you deal with your situation. Well, all right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Coming up right after the news here at the bottom of the hour, Chris Elliott joins us. We're going to talk about those vaccines. Chris has got a fun, interesting, and maybe a story that will strike a chord with you, especially if you don't like needles. That's
Amarillo by morning.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for joining us here. We bring on that consumer advocate, Mr. Chris Elliott. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Christopher. You are safely in Arizona, I take it?
I am. Yes, I'm in Sedona, and so far, no COVID.
Christopher, you wrote a great column, I felt, last week on your Elliott Confidential website about the vaccine and about how, as a kid, you've always hated needles, and you told a great story, and you made some very valid points for why you should get this vaccine, even if putting a needle in your arm is one of your least favorite things. And since I fit into that category of, oh, my God, a needle, I'll have to look away, think of something else, do it quickly before I know that it's happened. So help our people who I feel like this is a win one person over at a time battle. And to convince them that not only is the vaccine safe because they can see people around them getting it, but also that even if it's not their favorite thing, to take a shot at it. So you really hate needles.
I do. Very much so. It's the last thing in the world that I would ever want to do is to put a needle anywhere near my body, especially a hypodermic needle filled with something that that you're not 100% sure about, which, you know, if you have a phobia of needles, you never know, do they pick the right thing? Are they putting the right vaccination in you, that kind of thing? So, you know, in this story, which appeared on my, I have a newsletter that just goes out to some email subscribers called Elliott Confidential, and that's at ElliottConfidential.com, all one word. So I took them back to the first time that I realized I had this phobia of needles, which was when I was in first grade, and they lined us all up and gave us shots. And I don't think they did this in the United States, but I was going to school in Austria to what's called a Volksschule, and they lined us all up and gave us these shots, and I did not want them. I saw people getting these needles in their arms, and I didn't want to. And as I said in the story, peer pressure kept me frozen in place. I realized afterwards that it was one of the worst experiences of my life. It's just the not knowing part, and I think a lot of people feel that too because of the pace at which the vaccine has been approved. It's gone quite fast. And there still are a lot of rumors, mostly unfounded rumors, that, you know, Bill Gates is going to turn us into a drooling robot by microchipping us, that are keeping people, that people are just very uncertain about it. And what I said was that despite all this uncertainty, I am still going to line up and get a vaccine as soon as it's available.
Well, Chris, clearly you were always the one that wanted the sugar cube and not the shot when when that was available. And I'm guessing you're probably not someone who, you know, rushes down to the blood bank to give blood every 30 seconds either. But so basically what you're saying is that you are certainly feel that the sacrifice, the gritting of the teeth, all of that phobia is going to be worth it in the long run.
I do. You know, and I've been covering this. This is not my first pandemic. I've been covering this pandemic since the very beginning. I covered the other pandemics over the last, you know, two or three decades. I've been doing this for a while. This is by far the scariest one. My point, though, in the story was that even though there are still questions and some legitimate questions, and even though there are a lot of rumors, it still is worth it. It still is worth going and lining up and getting the vaccine, because the other side, not getting the vaccine and having this thing with us for the next couple of years, is would be even worse than any of the problems that we see right now.
As far as travel, do you see, Chris, sort of what I see coming, and that is that not only for travel, but for stadiums and some other situations where you're going to be packed in tight with people, it may very well be that vaccination that allows you to enter those places?
Absolutely. I had a story that appeared in this Sunday's Washington Post about yellow cards and vaccine passports. As you know, and a lot of your listeners probably know, the yellow card, carte jaune, which is has all of your vaccination records in it, is something that is required for a lot of countries. You know, if you go to Africa, you have to show that card. Mm-hmm. So you are going to have to at some point show either a record of your vaccine. And right now, when you get the vaccine, you do get the CDC gives you this little card where you put the series of vaccines on it. So you get a stamp or they write it in and tell you when you got it. I also think that you'll either have to show that or our yellow card or a negative COVID test. But you're not going to just be able to board a plane and go anywhere you want to.
I have a lot of repeat travelers, people who you take a group of 25 people and they meet at the airport, and many of them will know each other. They will have traveled before. But they've all come from different households. They've all done different things over the last week to 10 days. And while I'd like to think my people are a little smarter and a little savvier than the average traveler, and they realize that traveling in a group, that they have some responsibility to the other people they might be traveling with, still there's a tremendous number of unknowns there. And if you could eliminate those unknowns by just saying, hey, see, I'm vaccinated. This is my number, or this is my picture, or this is my, you know, whatever. And I realize that's going to give some people some consternation, but I'm not sure there's a better way other than just throwing open the gates and letting everybody on board.
Well, no, there isn't. And I think that, you know, your customers are probably going to do that. The savviest of travelers, the people who I talk to every day, are telling me that they're not only going to get the vaccine and they're going to get their yellow cards filled out, they're also going to get a negative COVID test. They're taking all the precautions they possibly can, anything they can do to get back out there on the road. I think I know we've talked about this before, they have this pent up desire to travel. They've been really good. They've stayed indoors. They've avoided contact with other people for the last year. And now they just want to get out. And this is their ticket. One of the travel agents that I interviewed for my post story called it the golden ticket. And that is, the golden ticket to travel is going to be your COVID vaccine.
You wrote in your column a section about still not sure about getting the vaccine. Share the points that you made there, if you would.
Yeah, I really covered all of the counter arguments to getting the the vaccine. And in the end, it really came down to either if you don't want to get a vaccine, then you need to stay home until this thing is over. So don't go out there because you could potentially infect someone. But one of the most compelling reasons to get a vaccine is not for yourself, but for the people around you, because, you know, you don't want to be a spreader of COVID-19, and you don't want to spread it to someone who you care about, especially. So in the story, I talk about some of the reactions that I've had to vaccines in the past, and I didn't want to skip over all that. And I appreciate you guys for not asking me, because it's pretty graphic. But I remember getting vaccinated for a couple of, I think it was yellow fever and a couple of other things when I went to Africa. And my daughter said that my face turned gray. It is a real physical reaction, and I am really, really scared. But even with the fear and phobia that I have of needles and the physical reaction that I have to vaccines, it is still much preferable to having, a third surge in COVID cases that could potentially kill. I mean, what are we up to now? More than 300,000? It's going to be 500,000 soon. I don't want that to be a family member or a friend, or anyone really.
In my opinion, there's a little societal responsibility here. As you have indicated, you don't do this. If you don't care about yourself, you still wear a mask and keep your distance and get a vaccine so that you're not part of the problem, so that you'll be part of the solution. Otherwise, a good option is to encase yourself into your home and not go any place and not do anything and not infect anybody. And, what was it, a 41-year-old Republican congressman to be, who is not with us anymore. We all want to travel. We all want to get out there and see things and do things. And those of us who travel a lot, we have a certain, mantra that we believe that travel is good for the planet. But this is one case where travel is not good for the planet. And those of us who travel, yeah, we want to flip that pendulum pretty quickly.
Well, you were talking about some of the people who don't believe that that COVID-19 exists, and some of them are more right leaning friends. And I would like to talk to them for a minute, because I have relatives. My father is someone who listens to Rush Limbaugh a lot and believes a lot of the things that are being said in the right wing media. I think it's really important for all of us to not treat these people like they're ignorant fools. And this is something that I said in my story, but just to help them understand that we are in a community. We do have freedom, but you don't have the freedom to infect me, and you have a personal responsibility to society. So you've got to do the right thing here. And I think that if you choose to not get the vaccine, it's okay. I'm not going to judge you. But you really should stay home if you're going to do that. And I think that's the important thing, is to be firm but understanding about that position, is that, we're not judging. You still can, no one is forcing you to put a needle in your arm. But you can't go out there and spread COVID to everyone else.
Well put. Well put.
Yep. I can't think of anything to add to that. So what's your best guess here, Mr. Elliott? We're starting to get vaccines in arms. If all goes well, you think people are back out on the road in a few months?
I certainly hope so. I'm thinking that probably spring break would be a bit too early for most people, but by the time Memorial Day rolls around, we're going to see more people out there. A late summer vacation season, and then the craziest holiday travel season we've ever seen, probably. And next year you can probably play the tape again and say, see, you said it, you called it, Chris. I hope it's crazy in a good way, though, not in a bad way. I hope there are a lot of people out there and people are traveling and enjoying themselves.
Chris Elliott, who has a consumer website where he helps people solve consumer problems. A lot of them are travel related. Some of them are not. It's Elliott.org, two L's and two T's. They are a not-for-profit organization, so every once in a while, if you throw your loose change in the corner there in the kettle, why, that helps some too. So, but they're here to help you, and if you have any kind of a travel problem, or you've had trouble getting a refund or anything like that, you just can't get somebody's attention, go to Elliott.org. They not only can help you, but they will teach you to help yourself. And what a great thing if you learn to write your own letter, send it off, and get exactly what you need, while you'll feel like you've really accomplished something. So it's a great website and a great resource if you need some consumer help. How's that, Chris? Is that a pretty good commercial?
I appreciate it, yes. And you, I'm glad you mentioned the fundraiser, because we're right in the middle of our holiday fundraiser. It ends very soon, so if you do want to support the nonprofit, please go to Elliott.org and click on that donate button there.
There you go. And if you can't remember all that, go to travelguysradio.com. We'll have a link for you there.
We'll get back with you, Chris, and get an update as more needles go in more arms. Thank you very much again for your time, as always.
Okay, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
You know, Tom, I saw a thing as I was preparing for the show this morning and knowing that Chris was going to talk, and we've had him on a lot lately, but that's just because he has such good information. And I thought this whole thing with the needle, the thing about him being scared of needles and stuff, was too good to pass up. A different writer, a travel writer today, said, put it this way, and I thought this was really nailed it. We need only a sense of urgency and a faith in math. We need only a sense of urgency, you know, wear the mask, stay apart. Let's do a few things for a little while. We really need to do those things, and a faith in math. More needles in more arms will make things better. So I thought that was pretty well put.
Excellent. We are the Travel Guys, coming up right after the break. We're going to talk about a song that you hear every year about this time, Dan Fogelberg's Auld Lang Syne. We're going to talk about It Really Happened and some information behind the scenes on that particular song. That's next here on the Travel Guys.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Hello there, everyone. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, entertainment being the optimum word for this particular segment. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget now, visit us at travelguysradio.com. You know, we're going to talk about a song that, golly, I think I was playing this song on the radio, back in the 80s when it first came out. And and I've always, and I think a lot of people have, they listen to it. It's one of those, it's a story song, which I think everybody likes story songs. This one has a really unique flavor to it, one that I think a lot of people, when they hear it, can identify with the subject matter. And Mark, you did a little research, because I know you were a Dan Fogelberg fan and a fan of this particular song.
I was,
so,
and
tell
this
us more.
Time of the year came up. I heard the song the other day, and I was like, you know, you can Google anything these days. It doesn't always work, but so I just decided to Google it. And then, you know, there were the lyrics, and then there was Fogelberg talking about the lyrics, and then there was a story from a Peoria newspaper, which is the town that he grew up in, and talked to this lady, Jill, and I'll probably butcher her last name. I can't find any place the right way to pronounce it, but it's G-R-E-U-L-I-C-H, so Grulich, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll call her Jill. And so she talked to, after Fogelberg died of cancer in 2007, had prostate cancer. He was only 56. And so she talked to this reporter and confirmed that indeed she was the lady in the story. Well, the reporter has tried to talk to her every year since about the, and ask her some more questions. She wouldn't talk to him until this year. So she and I just found this update literally a few minutes ago. But anyways, this same Auld Lang Syne is the song that you hear. Gosh, every New Year's Eve, it's one of those standards, and it'll probably be a year before you hear it again. But next time you hear it, you will know that indeed it really happened. The lady who had involved, if you know the story, it's about running into an old flame by accident on Christmas Eve in a grocery store. And all of this stuff actually happened. They both went to school. Jill and Dan Fogelberg went to school in Peoria, Illinois. They knew each other. They graduated in 1969. After graduation, they went to different colleges, and they were kind of an on again, off again item in high school. And so they went to different colleges. She got married and moved to Chicago, and he moved to Colorado and went into music. And they were both back in Peoria on Christmas Eve in 1975. So this would be 45 years ago. They're both in town on Christmas Eve. They run into each other at a grocery store, and that's in the song. But what the amazing thing is that the two families tell to the newspaper reporter is that one family was out of whipped cream and one was out of some other thing, and somebody had to go to the store and get it. They didn't know that each other was even in town. There was only one grocery store in the whole area that was open, one convenience store, and they both ended up there at exactly the same time. So totally, completely by chance, these people ran into each other in the grocery store. And indeed, they did buy a six-pack of beer and went out and drank it in the car and had all of this wonderful reminisce that you hear in the song is pretty much exactly how it came off. Isn't that pretty amazing?
It is. It's an amazing coincidence that it happened. And Dan Fogelberg, the great storyteller that he was able to turn it into a tune. Now, from what I understand, Mark, from what you shared with me, she didn't tell anybody. When she heard the song on the radio, she didn't tell anybody that it was about her.
About five years after this happened. She's driving in her car to work one day, and she hears this song. And she knows immediately, of course, that it's about this time that they had gotten together. And because he had not told her that that he was going to do it. And the song wasn't a huge hit. It only got up to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Christmas charts.
Yeah, exactly. But she was driving to her teacher's job, and she turned on her car radio. And she said, you know, that sounds like Dan. And as the song moved along and she was listening to the lyrics, grocery store, Christmas Eve, beer toast, old flames, she said, I screamed out loud. Oh, my gosh, that actually happened. That was us. She told almost nobody about it. She ran into him a few years later, went to one of his concerts and went backstage. There were a couple parts in the song that it turned out he took a little liberty with. Her eyes are blue. Her eyes are actually green, but in the song, her eyes are blue. And he told her, he said, well, that was blue was easier to rhyme at that point in the song than blue. And there was one other thing that they didn't delve into, the most chilling line in the song, which regarded her marital situation in 1975. Now, remember, these people were high school lovers. They get back together and they run into each other, and there's a song, line in the song says, she would have liked to say she loved the man, but she didn't like to lie. Talked referring to the man that she had married after she left high school. And she never wanted to speak about that to the reporter or to anybody else. She's never chosen to talk about whether or not, you know. But later, she has divorced the man, and they're not together. So obviously that was. But even a little kind of a little personal thing in there that you wouldn't think of hearing. Anyway, I think Luis has got a little piece of this. Now that you know what everything in the song means and that it's all true, the lady for whom it was written, her granddaughters listen to the song now. She's known to her grandkids as Mimi. They call it Mimi's song on the radio, she says, and which really warms my heart.
Stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
My friends, we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday for another edition of The Travel Guy. Stay well, my friends.
Dance like nobody's watching. Next week, the man who says, take one step back from the baggage claim. What great wisdom. We'll talk about that next week here on The Travel Guys.